Welcome, my friends, to Proactive, the podcast where we dive deep into the realms of productivity. This podcast is not just about being more productive in business or achieving more goals. Our hosts, Dr. Tina and Richie and Arthur, and our guests each week are here to provide you with their tips, strategies, and insights so you can supercharge your best life. Proactive is about being productive mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. So if you are ready to produce your best life and you want to balance being with doing, then hit the subscribe button, share it with your friends, and let's get proactive. And it's time for today's podcast. And today I am welcoming Elizabeth Cunningham. Elizabeth is a relationship expert. She's a CEO at Speaking Love LLC. She has a degree in political science and gender and sexuality. And after she finished with her degree, she made programs, but most of all, she started leading talks. And she did this for 3 whole years. But after a while, she decided to switch her focus. And instead of just helping people get out of unhealthy relationships, she really decided to focus on how to help people get into healthy ones. And she's been trained through Landmark, the Erotic Blueprints as a blueprint coach. She's an accelerated evolution, transformational life coach as well. Her goal is that everyone needs to live their authentic lives and be their authentic selves. They get to create the relationships that work for them and that are working simultaneously for their partners. And by the way, the goal is to have fun doing it all. She has her own podcast, The Elizabeth Cunningham Show, and she also does a podcast with a co-host, Lee Griebsch, called the Queer and Poly Podcast. And when she's not coaching, you can be sure she is finding pleasure and play in her life. She's into playing with flow art, and I'm sure she's going to tell us more about dragon dreaming, as well as poi and yoga. This girl is young, but she's been published in numerous magazines, numerous articles. She's on lots of online events, and I am so lucky that she decided to choose to come on this podcast today. So welcome, Elizabeth, to our podcast, Proactive. How are you?
Hi. Oh my gosh. I am fabulous. Thank you so much for reading a little bit about me in our intro.
I think I like what you said too. I didn't tell our listeners that your goal is to live your life, you know, staying in pleasure and that serving others while doing that. Mm-hmm. So tell me how that became sort of an underlying goal for you of how to stay true to who you are. And how to bring your true self living in true pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. So one thing is that when I was 20, 21 years old, I discovered that I'm polyamorous. And that's a whole other story. And I have numerous podcasts that share like the full extended version of my like coming into polyamory story. But the short of it is that I discovered that I'm polyamorous, and in being polyamorous, and for those of you who don't know what polyamory is, poly means many, amory means love. And so polyamory means that you have many loves. So the traditional or what we currently assume that, you know, we only have one romantic partner, either for life or at a time, and we call that monogamy. And so polyamory is kind of, if you will, the opposite of monogamy, where we have multiple romantic partners at once, or you can have multiple romantic partners at once as a possibility. And so I've been practicing that since, 2010. And I'm also queer. So I identify as pansexual. And again, for those of you who don't know what pansexual means, what it means is that you're attracted to people regardless of their gender. Like, gender doesn't really have anything to do with how you're attracted to someone. Like, if you're cisgender man or woman, if you're a transgender man or woman, if you're non-binary, like, it doesn't really matter. People who are pansexual are attracted to people based off of how you feel about that individual, that person, rather than what their gender is. So So I fall into that category. And so in having this experience and also being someone who's very interested in gender and sexuality and relationships and does that as a career, what I really saw for myself in my own personal experience and in the experience of the people I'm working with is that when we can truly authentically be ourselves, because the thing is that like we're always, trying to make sure that we are doing, especially in romantic relationships, doing something so that we're likable, doing things so that we're lovable, being a certain way, believing certain things, saying certain things. I certainly know for myself when I was in high school, there was some music that I listened to that, like, yeah, I liked, but like I got way more into it because like my boyfriend at the time really liked it and I wanted to like connect with him about that. And there was music that I liked that like he really hated that I pretended to hate because I wanted him to like me. I wanted to have a good relationship. I didn't want to have a difficult conversation about music. And so I was just like, I'm just gonna whatever. Like I hate this music too, right? And then you get out of that relationship and you're like, oh gosh, like thank goodness I can go listen to this type of music that I really like, right?
So can I make you laugh just because I remember when I got into my relationship that lasted for many, many years. Initially, he just liked white wine when it came to wine. So it was this thing that we drank white wine. Now, I'm not much of a wine connoisseur one way or the other. But then somehow, as he got older, he started drinking red wine and he started drinking Merlot. And then Sideways came out and he decided he couldn't drink Merlot anymore because the Sideways guy in the movie disses Merlot. Anyway, so then he started drinking a different red wine. And at some point it was like I woke up and I went, I want a glass of white wine. We're always drinking red and I hate Cabernet. I like Merlot. I don't want to drink Cabernet or that, like, and it was this awareness that like I had lost my ability to choose what wine I was drinking. And it wasn't conscious. I was, it was like, I remember just going somewhere like, I'll have a glass of Sauvignon Blanc. And he's like, but we're eating. And I'm like, but I want a glass of Sauvignon Blanc. It was just the awareness of like, we make decisions, and some people are more powerful than others in their presence, or I'm certainly weaker in the presence of certain others because of my trauma response of trying to be liked.
Yeah, absolutely. And it presents in people in different ways. Like some people, maybe they have, I use the example of music, you use the example of wine, and maybe some people like that's not a big deal. Like they would have no problem like sticking up for themselves and being like, "No, absolutely. Like I like this type of music or I like this type of wine." But it can also present in other ways too, like where you want to go, the ideas that you have, things that you talk about, the types of values even that you bring to the relationship, what you're willing or not willing to bring up, the hard conversations that you are or aren't willing to have. Like there's so many different possibilities of ways that you can stop yourself and truly being fully expressed as yourself. Because of the perceived repercussions from that person, right? Or they are you or you have had repercussions from that person. So like the evidence that you've been building, like, oh, whenever I bring up this topic, the person I'm dating or the person I'm with or the person I married like hates it, and so it's a negative repercussion, and so I'm never going to bring up this topic, and I'm just going to like make it okay that this part of myself is like, I'm just going to say that it's not a big deal. I'm going to say I don't care. I'm going to be like, oh, this is you make sacrifices for love, all of this stuff. And I think in being authentically self-expressed, like that you don't have to do that. Like we have, I think we have this thought, and the people that I interact with and with the work that I've done, there seems to be this common thread, common thought that like if I do this, then they'll leave me, or if I do this, then I won't find the person. Like we have this limiting belief that all of us will never be fully loved by another human being, much less multiple human beings if you're also polyamorous, right? And so people try to, shift themselves into ways in which they think that other people will like them, when rather, what I've seen happen in working with people is that when you really are able to like fully accept every single part of you, to self-advocate, to be fully expressed in those ways, then you actually end up attracting the people who really love all of those things and who love everything for you. And so I want to really like dispel this myth that like you have to be a certain way or you won't find, the person or the people, for you.
So Rich Rubin, who wrote a book about creativity, and he creates lots of he's an age, creative artist, and he produces lots of, so he was on a podcast, and he Andrew Dice Clay was a famous comedian. I don't know, I think in the 80s or something like that. And he told this story about just that, like polarity of, some people might like you, but other people might not, right? And so he started out very authentic, being a comedian, and he had a huge following, enough to get lots of people in Madison Square Garden, and everything was great. And this guy, Richie Rubin, was producing his shows or whatever. But he was so bugged, not like he couldn't see that all these people loved him. All he could see was that these other people didn't like him. And so he ended up morphing his career to kind of, try and give what those people who didn't like him liked. And he ended up tanking his career because they still didn't like him. And then he lost his followers that loved him. And the summary, the Richie Rubin says, like, polarity is good. If you have a group of people who love you, don't worry about people who don't, because you cannot please every single human in the world. And those who get you, and those who don't never will. So don't waste your time trying to make people who don't get you, because it'll never work.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the
And
more
I,
you're not yourself, which is what you said about being authentic.
yeah, being yourself, being authentic, and there's a lot of different definitions or ways that we can take being authentic. I was actually having this conversation with I lead a group coaching course, and we were having this discussion the other day about like what does authenticity mean really, like to an individual and like in a relationship, like what does it actually mean to be your authentic self? So that's kind of a fun conversation in and of itself. But to your point, that regardless of whatever your definition of being authentic is, that when you really are that authentic version of yourself, yeah, you are totally going to repel people, but the people that you're going to repel are not your people.
Right.
Like, they're
And you
not
can
your people.
attract in the people that you love, and the people who repel or repelled from you are going to be attracted to someone else. So they're going to be
Absolutely.
so happy in their
Absolutely.
bubble.
Yeah. I remember I had a conversation with a client of mine several years ago because he was like, he could kind of see the absurdity of his own thinking, but he also like couldn't see out of his own thinking, which was he went to this like work barbecue thing. It was like in the summer, just like social event for like the whatever his job was at the time, and there was this like group of people that were like attractive people or something like that, but they were all together, like they were all like partnered. And he had this thought that was like he had like all this jealousy. And at the time, like him and his girlfriend were opening up their relationship, and that's why he was my client. And he was like, I get so jealous when I see like other guys. Like he's like, even like I didn't he's like, I didn't even know these guys, Elizabeth. Like I was at this picnic at this park, like I didn't even know these people, and I was so jealous that like these guys were with these girls because like they were really attractive and like all this stuff and blah blah blah. And he was just like, not that this guy wasn't an attractive person, but he was just like, well, why can't I have those women? Like, why can't I do that? Like, that kind of like comparison. And then I was like, okay. I was like, let's take the case. Let's pretend. Let's do a thought experiment for a second. Let's pretend that every single woman on the planet is attracted to you and wants to be with you. And he was like, oh shit. He was like, that sounds terrible. Like, that sounds terrible that every single woman on the planet, I was like, all 4.5 billion of them, or however many women there are, right? And he was like, oh my God, that sounds awful. And I was like, okay, now let's just scale it down to the city that you live in. Let's say that every single woman in the city that you live in is attracted to you and wants to be with you. And he was like, that still sounds terrible and exhausting. I hate everything about that. And and I was like, okay, great. Let's say that there is a handful of women in this city that like just think that you're the greatest guy on the planet and they just want to have this amazing relationship with you and they love everything about you and like they love you for everything that you are. They just think that you are just the bee's knees, right? And he was like, that sounds pretty rad. And he was like, are you? And I was like, are you okay with like doing a little bit of work to like find these women? And he was like, yeah. He's like, that sounds really cool.
Love it.
It's just like, so it's almost like taking your fear to like the extreme. It's like, okay, great. Like, what if you got everything that you wanted? Like, what if every single person on this planet loved you and wanted your time and attention? I was like, I don't know about you, but like for me, that also sounds really exhausting and terrible. And so it's just like, oh, okay, it's actually a really good thing that not everyone likes me, not even from a like wanting to be liked perspective, but just from like a time and energy
Right.
perspective, it's also really great that not everybody likes you.
That is actually, that's a great way to discuss it, because I do find in my office as a gynecologist, I'm talking to people, and so many women I feel, and maybe I see it because I decided that was what happened to me. So then you start seeing in others, but I think
Sure.
so many women, our stress response, our trauma response is it's fight, flight, freeze, or please. And yeah, some of us are freeze and dissociated, but so much of it is that please. I want to be liked. I want to be liked. And it's not coming from the authentic place. It's coming from what happens if they don't like me,
Right.
right? Which is a trauma response, which is not good for our body, which is how we end up getting sick, I think. The energy gets kinked and we have physical disease. We're diseased in our body. And so we're not at ease. And so being authentic is how we stay at ease in our body, which keeps us more well.
Yeah. Well, and what I've seen and with the work that I do, it does take that unpacking, unveiling, really dealing with all of those layers on top of that, right? Like
Yeah.
you said, like the trauma response, maybe it's from your family of origin, maybe it's from past romantic relationships, maybe it's from past friendships, even like whatever
Yeah.
relational, whatever relational trauma that you have, that yeah keeps you from and when I say trauma, because I also have people that come to me that they're like, well, I don't have trauma, Elizabeth, and I'm like, okay, like maybe something like awful didn't happen to you, like maybe like the worst case scenario didn't happen to you. But when you're a 5-year-old and your mom yells at you for something that you don't understand why you're in trouble, and then as a 5-year-old, you decide that you're a burden. Like you might not, those might not be the words that you think in your little 5-year-old brain, but maybe the words that you think in your little 5-year-old brain is, my mom doesn't want me and I shouldn't be around, and that stays with you.
Always,
And yeah,
until
it's
you clear it out, until you see it to
yeah.
clear. My son remembers going to first grade, kindergarten or first grade, and he tells me the story of how he was walking into school and there was this other kid. And mind you, it wasn't like one was more popular than the other or one was the cool kid. And they were just two boys, even Steven from all levels of, popularity or whatever. But he remembers the kid looking at him. He was literally 5 or 6. It's first grade. And in that split second, he was aware of peer pressure. And like he looked at himself, like, what am I wearing? What are my shoes? Like it was just this awareness that this other person was looking at him, and did he measure up? And he can't, he there was no tangible words, there was no nothing, but it was, and it, the kid probably didn't even know he was doing it. He was 5 too, right? I mean, here's these two 5-year-olds, 2 6-year-olds, right? But it was that grown up of that, just that childlike awareness that other people are looking at me and making judgments, right? We had it. And
Exactly.
you know, it could be, I always tell the story, you know, you go to a party, nice hair, nice shoe, nice this, and then, why are you wearing green shoes? And the only thing you remember from the whole night is that you wore green shoes to that party.
And so exactly. So it is a practice. It's a practice to do that. It's you're raising your awareness, it's raising your consciousness, and then it's doing, things, whatever that might be, therapy, coaching, different modalities, so that, as you were saying earlier, that you can clear out that stuck energy, so you can clear out the charge, the kink. There's a lot of different like words and verbiage, but whatever that stuckness is for you, that you can clear it out, so that way you can be fully present to who you are, even to who you are, to who you authentically are. That's something that I also hear in the realm of relationships is, I was in this relationship, going back to like how you kind of lose yourself in relationships. Like we were talking about, specific things like wine or music or like going out or not going out or something like that. But it's kind of this death by a thousand cuts, because all of a sudden 5 years from now, you're like, wow, a lot of my life is spent doing things that I don't enjoy, or I have to pretend to enjoy, or I'd rather actually be doing something else, or if I had my druthers, And so it's like all of a sudden down the line, you're like, wow, who am I anymore? And I feel like I hear that a lot with people who have been in long-term relationships, or people who have kids, or people who have like started like a big venture, like a business. Like all of a sudden, 5 years down the line, you've really like dedicated yourself to this one thing. And now you're like, who am I anymore? Like, what do I even enjoy? And so I think also inside of raising your consciousness, raising your awareness of what you're doing and how you're being authentic, how you're living every day, every week, every month, every year, adds up. And so if we can raise our consciousness and awareness enough to where we add in every single day those moments of authenticity for ourselves, those moments of being our true selves, those moments of joy, of pleasure, of just being like, oh yeah, this is truly what I love and enjoy. And like if we can start to add that in, if we can start to expand on that, because that is the reason why I switched from working with a domestic violence center to then learning and then eventually coaching and teaching and consulting inside of having people have healthy relationships.
And I want to get to that. So tell me how you went from the unhealthy relationship in its extreme. I feel like I'm stuttering today, but no offense to any stutterers, but I'm noticing it. So you went from dealing with people in a true traumatic, unhealthy, very unhealthy relationship to, okay, that's one end of the spectrum. And the idyllic other end of the spectrum is a healthy relationship, which could be one or plural in terms of how who you're having re in relationship with, but making that morph, what did you learn from the unhealthy that kind of it's kind of taking illness to prevention.
Totally.
Seeing illness and like, wait, I want to prevent this. So how did you take what you learned in that and use it for the prevention mode?
Ooh, that's such a great question. What a good angle to kind of come from. I think one of the things that I've learned in, or like used from that, like, okay, I know all of this stuff about it, like extremely unhealthy and like abusive relationships. And so this is kind of like how I'm gonna help people form healthy relationships. Number one, I just had like five different things come up in my brain.
You go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. If you want to write them down so you don't forget them.
I'll say the ones that I'll say. I'm sure that there's at least 20. So we'll go with what comes up. The first one that came up for me is recognizing the willingness and unwillingness to be in relationship and to work on your relationship. And so in an abusive relationship or even an unhealthy relationship, usually one party is unwilling to work on the relationship, unwilling to take responsibility, unwilling to take accountability for their actions and what they do. And so, yeah, in looking at that of like, okay, this is what really doesn't work. And so what would really work is for people to be willing, for people to really have that step forward in relationships, for people to have the courage. It takes a lot of courage to take responsibility, to take accountability for who you're being, who you're showing up as in relationships, because we all do things that don't work, right? All of us. There's not a single person on this planet that's like the superhero of relationships. Like that person doesn't exist, right? And so we
That'd
all
be a good
have,
Marvel movie.
yeah, like we all, but we all have unhealthy traits and characteristics that we need to address in relationships because they impact other people, right? And so it's not that an unhealthy relationship is one where people have unhealthy behaviors. It's an unhealthy or an abusive relationship. People have unhealthy behaviors, and at least one of those people is unwilling to address the impact of those unhealthy behaviors on the other person and on the relationship. And this is where it gets a little bit slippery because you in abusive relationships, that person is abusive, and so they are also manipulative, and so they may say the right things. They may say, like, they may know how to quote unquote take responsibility or take accountability with their words. But if they don't follow through with actions repeatedly, abuse is a repeated behavior. Like an abusive relationship or an abusive person is a relationship or person that repeats this behavior over and over and over again because that's what they want to do. Like, and that's kind of a hard pill to swallow, especially for someone who knows or loves an abusive person.
To
Yeah.
interrupt for 30 seconds because
Yeah.
one of our colleagues in the erotic world reminded us, she gave the definition of abuse, right? And how many of us have our own inner critic that we live with every day that is frequently abusing us? And so none of us are free unless we've really. So many of us abuse ourselves at the same time, and we don't even see that level of abuse. And so I'm putting that out there because some people go into the blame mode. Oh, yeah, my partner's abusive. I would never do that. Oh, how many times do you critique yourself? And do you only hear the words that he says that are critiquing you, right? And so I just invite us all to understand we're all capable without realizing it.
We are all capable without realizing it. And I want to add in something there, the nuance of, because this is how we can gaslight ourselves as well. And this is often how people stay in abusive relationships far too long, is because a lot of the times the victims of abuse are very empathetic people. They're very empathetic, they're very understanding, they're very compassionate to a fault because they see those toxic traits within themselves. And so they're like, or they have the trauma, or both and, right? They may also have trauma from the past where it's like they've never known really a help. They don't know the experience of a healthy relationship. And so this type of relationship is almost like normal. But sometimes what happens is that we're so understanding and loving of this person, and we have such a hyper awareness of our own inner critic or our own faults, quote unquote, that we see the abusive behavior, but we excuse it because we see things that we're doing wrong as well. And so we're like, well, I'm doing this wrong, so I can't get mad at them for doing this wrong, right? Where it's like, that's not actually true. You can be doing things that don't work and still hold your partner to account for the things that they're doing that don't work too. You can do both at the same time. You can hold yourself to account, you can hold them to account, but I want you to notice, and I need you to pay attention to this, is because if you're in a relationship where you can hold yourself to account and you can hold your partner to account, but again, they don't hold themselves to account. Like they might be like, yeah, well, da 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 da, and then they push it back on you, right? They push it back. They're like, but see, you did, and once you do this, or once this happens, then maybe da 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 da, or like, you know, and they'll push it away. They'll push it away, they'll excuse it away. Or if they don't, again, if they don't excuse it away, if they say all the right things, they won't follow through with their actions. Right. And so that's the sign of like a like toxic or abusive relationship, which I hate to use the word toxic, honestly, because I want to kind of erase that actually. Erase the word toxic, because I feel like that gets tossed around too much and it's very undefined, like in our
Unhealthy
current
relationship.
unhealthy relationship. Yeah, in our
Unhealthy.
current vernacular, toxic has become this kind of like buzzword that's like a little undefinable, which is problematic. But yeah, so that's one way that that kind of informs like helping people have healthy relationships, because, and you brought up something really great, because how I coach people, where I start with is you. I start with the you. Like it all starts with you. It all starts with, yeah, dealing with all of those thoughts in your head about like the limiting beliefs that you have in relationships, the limiting beliefs that you have about yourselves, the things that you tell yourself, the stories that you tell yourself, also like how you feel about yourself, your own emotional regulation, and the stories you make up about your emotions. Because we don't realize that, like, we have anger, and then all of a sudden we're like, we're a bad person, or I shouldn't be like this, or whatever. And or like we have sadness and we're like, see, I'm weak and I'm stupid. And it's like we make up sto we don't only make up stories about like ourselves, like we make up stories about our experiences, like our emotions. And so really having like dismantling all of that and being able to come to a place where you feel at peace and assured in yourself, because that's the other thing too, is that, again, looking, I love this question, like looking from that lens of being in an abusive relationship, the victim in that circumstance, or the survivor, or in some cases the survivor in that circumstance, when they come out of that relationship, are have you know have been manipulated for however long, and now you have a very fragile sense of self. Like you've been shaken, like your own trust in yourself has been completely shaken. And so you need to rebuild that trust within yourself. You need to rebuild that inner fire, that inner worth, that inner, like, so you, when you hear that inner voice, so you can be like, okay, like I can actually trust that inner voice in myself. And that's the foundation for being authentic. And the foundation for being authentic in yourself, the foundation for being able to self-advocate, which is so important in relationships, but also really important if you're in polyamorous or non-monogamous relationships as well, because then you have multiple relationships happening, et cetera. So yeah, being able to self-advocate really comes from that place of like noticing and garnering and like establishing that trust and assuredness in yourself that oftentimes survivors of domestic violence have, that's gotten extinguished to some extent, right?
Why is and how is having a good relationship or good relationships in your life important to productivity, to fitness, to mental health, to spiritual health? Like, why is that critical to our being the best human we can be?
Yeah, so there's multiple studies on this. If you look it up, there's decades of research and case studies on why having healthy and supportive relationships is one of the keys to a happy and even long life. Like there's
Blue
actually
zones.
There's actually studies that are like when the blue zones, exactly, where people live longer, one of the key things is that they have healthy, supportive, and the supportive part is really, really key as well. So healthy and supportive relationships is key to a long life. And also in the midst of everything like day to day. So what I'm concerned with is I'm concerned with your now, and I'm also concerned with the future that you want to build. So those are my two main concerns. And the future that you want to build is comprised of moments of now. Like you can't be
Can't live anywhere but now.
you can't live anywhere but now, and you can't be 80 being like, oh, when am I going to have healthy relationships? Like that's not how it
Right.
works. Like you can't be like, oh yeah, like, and also the thing is that again, also there's studies to back up my point on this too, is that when people focus on like just wealth generation, for example, which I, in my opinion, I don't think there's anything wrong with just focusing on wealth generation. But if you're just focused on wealth generation and you are putting your relationships to the side, number one, your day-to-day experience is not going to have as high of a quality of life as someone who is actively maintaining those healthy, supportive relationships, even if that's just a couple. Right? Even if that's just a couple healthy and supportive relationships, like your spouse or your best friend or a parent or a sibling or something like the, you know, your favorite cousin, whatever. But in it's going to help in that wealth generation. People who focus on healthy relationships also build better wealth and have a higher income. Because I don't know if anybody else has noticed this, but when you are having a hard time in one of your core relationships, your productivity goes down, your quality of life goes down, your stress levels go up. It's harder to do pretty much everything. Your physical health goes down.
Your energy, it's an energy
Your inner
drain.
it's an energy drain, exactly. And so having healthy,
Thank you.
supportive relationships fuels you. It puts fuel in your fire, and it also gives you a better quality of life every single day. And if you have a better quality of life every single day over years and decades, then you're going that it's a compound effect. Like
Yeah.
you're just going to have a
Compound
better
interest.
quality. It's
Yeah.
compound interest. You're just going to have a better quality of life overall because you're actively doing that every single day, right? So that's how I could rant about that forever. And the other thing that I'll say about that too is that it just because you have a bad day doesn't mean that now your life is shit. Okay, like you're also allowed to have
Yeah.
bad days, but this was the thing, and this was a study. I'm going to forget the name of the study, but basically that it's the longest study in studying like the progression of people's lives and relationships, I think in the United States, maybe in the world, but like definitely in the United States. And it's been going on since the 1930s. Like studying these progressions of these people's lives. And one of the things that they showed was that even when things weren't going well, like you were bickering with your spouse, you were really stressed out because of a work thing, and that did impact your relationships, etc. The people, again, the people who had healthy and supportive relationships, like the people who are like, okay, even though this is really sucky right now, and maybe we don't even really like each other right now, we still are here for each other. Like that's why the key word is support, right? And it's like we're still here for each other. And so even though it's really hard, we're still here. We still have this connection. And so it doesn't, again, it's the fire. It's that fire that is like underneath all of it. And so, even though, because you're going to have hard times, there's going to be times that are really challenging. There are going to be times that are really hard, really trying. But when you have those healthy and supportive relationships, in the long run, you are going to do better in those challenging situations. You're going to have lower stress, like compared to other people who don't have healthy relationships. They have, after challenging situations, their stress is higher. Now you have to recover from multiple things. You have to recover from the challenging situation and you have to repair your relationship.
Right. So what I'm hearing, because we're getting towards the end of today, we have is to prioritize relationships, remember to have supportive relationships, remember that you are responsible for you in your relationship, in both owning yourself and having boundaries to hold the other person accountable for them to hold their half of their relationship. And I like us to remember that supportive relationships don't have to be one monogamous marriage to the exclusion. We all need supportive relationships.
Relationships.
Yes. And even whether you're married or not married, having a support group that loves you as you are, as an authentic person, is critical to thriving and not just surviving. And I do think many women, many men lose themselves in a marriage and lose the outside friendships. That actually can bring fire and support. It doesn't have to be polyamory, but you can have friends, girls and boys outside. And so having, so those are what I'm hearing from you today. And for our takeaway for our listeners, to prioritize relationship boundaries, stand up for yourself and find yourself, know what brings you pleasure, and check out everything Elizabeth has to offer, because she gives courses and coaching. And is there any free giveaway or bonus that you'd like to give to our listeners?
So I have a this is specifically for my polyamorous and non-monogamous folks. So if you fall into that category or you're curious about that, I have a free PDF and it is a th 3 pages of questions to ask someone who you are interested in dating in a non-monogamous setting. And so these questions are about questions to ask before you go on your first date with someone, questions to ask on your first date, and also questions to ask around sex and STIs as well.
Very good. Excellent. So we're going to put that in the show notes. We're going to put in there where Elizabeth can be found and where you can listen to more about her and where you can find her so you can get coached by this expert. And for today, I want to say it's been a true pleasure. We have to end. I could go on for hours chatting with you. I invite you all to check out Elizabeth at all her links. We'll have the web, social media, and more in the show notes. Please remember that every Monday at 9 a.m., our podcast drops. Please subscribe. Please share with friends. Please write us an excellent review. And always remember, time is our most valuable resource. So get yourself proactive, be productive to ensure that you are producing your very best life.